And this morning I have Isabella with me. Hello, Isabella.
Hi.
Right. Do you remember anything about Doctor Who on Saturday? Come on then. Tell me all about it.
I can't remember.
So you asked to come on the podcast to talk about Doctor Who, and now you can't remember. They were in a submarine.
Yeah. And there was a monster.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it was called.
Ice Warrior. So what did the monster do?
It is trying to rip everybody.
Was it?
Okay. And there was a robot.
What robot?
A green robot.
And it was a monster suit, it wasn't a robot.
It was.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
So, what happened then?
The doctor talked to it.
Yeah. Then what happened? Okay. So what did you think of the story?
Scary.
Did you like it? No? Why not?
It was scary and it was ripping people.
Oh, you watched it all?
Yeah. It was ripping people.
Okay.
It was scary.
So you didn't like it then? No. Okay. No, that's good then. No, thank you much. Thank you, Isabella.
Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, number 160. And I forgot what I was going to say now. Done! Oh, never mind. Here's Reese Parton.
Viva Las Vegas.
And Robert Haynes.
Yo, ho, yo, mo, bo. Oh, sorry, that's the wrong alien, isn't
it? I beg your pardon?
Tell me what happens. Ultrafox, do they split up?
Oh, God. Who's next? That's throwing me that. Oh, Mary Lang.
We go way back.
Do we?
Way back.
That's the one I was going to use.
Oh.
Who have I missed out? Was it Reese?
No, it was me.
Oh, uh-uh. And who's that bloke?
I don't know.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Hair, shoulder pads, nukes, it's the 80s, everything's bigger.
That's what she said. Welcome to the 20 Megabyte podcast for this week. Now, as per usual, we have a limited period of time while we're having Mary here, and that limited period of time has dropped down to 53 minutes, so I think it might be a good time to crack straight on with my notes here on my iPad.
Let's get cracking.
Just got to get into them first. Right. Cold War by Mark Gatiss. They're at the North Pole in 1983 in a Soviet submarine. They are preparing to... What?
20th anniversary of Doctor Who that was, so there's all these references to, things in the past.
I didn't spot that one, but well done, Robert. In a Soviet... I've done that bit, thank you. they are preparing to launch nuclear weapons, but are interrupted by David Warner, Professor Krasenko, singing along
Professor.
To Vienna... Professor?
Professor?
Try saying it quickly then, Reese. Professor Krasenko.
Professor Krasenko.
Is your name Reese?
Saying it quickly.
Well, I said it quickly.
I'll be quiet. Singing along to Vienna by Ultravox on his Sony Walkman, the drill is cancelled. As in, not the drill, as it... Thank you. The drill is... it's cancelled. Not the drill as in an oil rig drill. It's a drill, you know, like a fire drill or sort of... Oh, never mind.
Test.
Yeah. Captain Zukov. Yes, a rehearsal. That's probably a better word. Captain Zhukov asks the professor if his specimen is stored okay. And I thought for a moment there he'd weed into a little pot.
I thought so too.
But obviously he doesn't mean that. A crew member holds a blowtorch near
Peter. Specimen.
The crew member is Peter. P-I-O-T-R.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll use the word crew member as I've written that down. He uses a blowtorch near to the ice block, or a ice block, melting it. Then an arm comes through and throttles him. The ice warrior is Pardon?
Wasn't it cool?
It would be. It's an ice block.
I hope they have nice drains in that room.
The ice warrior is wreaking havoc. And I don't mean the stunt team havoc. That's... as the TARDIS arrives, not in Vegas.
That was one of my questions, was what exactly does he do to make the sub go start sinking? It's not clear.
Right. I haven't watched that part over again.
It's the ice warrior wreaking havoc.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Not in Vegas. The sub is sinking. The doctor advises them to use sideways momentum. Notice my voice is not quite up to scratch. It's more of a Wendell from the Omega podcast.
Reese's back?
On the Omega podcast. Well, tell him to hurry up. Is he? Why doesn't he just join in then? Normally he just joins in, doesn't he? Do I have to do absolutely everything, don't I? Good grief. Right. Ow, I just banged my elbow.
That hurt.
Demonstrator, TARDIS. Hang on, where did I get up to? Sub is sinking. I've done that bit. Right.
I went sideways onto a ledge.
Yeah. The TARDIS dematerializes while the Doctor and Clara are searched, and Clara looked particularly sexy with the wet look.
Hey, she must be back in that Titanic miniseries.
Yeah, I did think of that actually.
Yeah.
I did. That did come to mind.
I'm sure I did.
Don't be rude. Right. They're being searched as they are attacked again by the ice warrior. The sonic screwdriver drops into the water, and there was a very strange moment where, so I don't know if Clara went under the water to try and get the sonic screwdriver, but she sort of
went
underwater. Like she did.
I think she got knocked over.
Did she?
Yeah, that was a little odd too.
Didn't quite understand what was going on there, unless it was like a transition from one thing to another, you know, like...
unless it has bearing towards the future.
Yeah, like it was a dream sequence or something like that. It was a bit weird. It's like the rest of it was a dream sequence. So I was a bit confused by that bit. So obviously the sonic screwdriver has fallen into the water, but she has a bit of a nap. While Captain Zhukov has an argument with the Doctor, Justice wants... No dissembling, no psychic paper, no pretending to be an Earth ambassador, which I thought was quite obviously a reference to a previous... Even though we hadn't seen the Ice Warrior yet, but I thought that might have been a reference to one of the previous stories involving the Ice Warriors, the Peladon stories, of course. Sorry, yeah. am I boring?
Was that an ambassador? And Alpha Centauri was an ambassador.
Yeah, they were all... Well, the Doctor was pretending to be the ambassador from Earth.
He was. That's what I was trying to refer to.
Yes. Yeah. I'm in the middle of watching that one. It's pretty good.
Okay. Anyway, Doctor, me, Clara, time travels. Time travelers. What? Pat on it was Doctor...
Kirby was watching that.
Okay. You made me lose my space again.
Sorry.
Yeah, Dr. Me and Clara, time travellers. Right, it's not a mammoth, it's an ice warrior, a native of the planet Mars. And we go back, we go way back. That's the bit I was going to use at the beginning of the show. We go way back, yeah. Now, is this really weird thing with the ice particles floating around the ice warrior's mouth? It's quite effective. Didn't you think? Clearly not.
Yeah, I missed
that.
You did?
Okay, I didn't pay close attention to it.
Right. And Shaldek is the name of the Ice Warrior. The Doctor knows as well. Grand Marshal. Sorry, Skaldek. Sorry, I misread that. Skaldek.
Grand Marshal Skaldek.
But he gets attacked by a cattle prod. and the Doctor advises them, all right, to lock the sovereign of the Tharthisian cast up. Tharthisian cast up. What a word that is. Not cast, I mean Tharthisian.
Yeah, this story is full of hard to pronounce names.
It is.
It's like an RDD script.
Skaldak
yeah. Yeah.
sends a distress call to his kind. The Doctor explains the TARDIS translation matrix to Clara, even though
no,
it isn't.
No, it didn't.
Well,
I'll say, hello, Ben.
Hello.
Have you got the day off today, then?
Sorry?
Have you got the day off today, then?
No, I'm working this afternoon, and I was just driving home from town when you Skyped my
phone. Stop swearing.
Oh, I thought you were online.
Which is why I couldn't answer, because for some reason, and I can probably make guesses as to why, my phone's Wi-Fi'd up to my car, so if it calls, if I get a phone call, I can talk through my car stereo and all that. But when it comes to Skype, I can't. So I couldn't speak to you, unfortunately. But hey, guess what?
What?
I haven't watched Doctor Who yet.
Oh, well, you're going to get spoiled. All right,
well,
get up
well I'm actually, my plan was to come back from town, sit down and watch it, and I've actually Skyped you up, and just as I was Skyping you up, I've got it ready to play on the TV. So I'm going to watch it, and if I get a chance, because obviously I've got to leave here at about 12:30, if I get a chance to call you back before then, if you're still there, I'll give you a quick review of it then.
Yeah, it's very likely we will be.
We waffle for a long time. I mean, we talk about
it. No. You waffle.
I have memories of waffling and talking and things going on for a while. So,
Robert,
I thought I'd just check in, say hello everybody, and then disappear again to actually watch the episode that you're probably discussing.
Which is rather what Reese was doing last week for most of the time.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'll be doing it a little bit this week.
Yeah, he's already done it once.
Yes.
That's what she said.
Well, okay, Ben. I enjoy that particular mission. I'll see you again soon.
Yes, buddy. It's just starting, so yes, I will catch up with you all a bit later.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Okay.
Enjoy it.
Meanwhile...
Bye. I hope it's better than last. See you later.
Bye, Ben.
Bye.
All right. Right then. Oh, wait, hang on. It's just... Skype has just asked me to rate the call. Now Ben's just disappeared. That's weird.
My head was pretty bad. I've already dropped out once.
That's what she said. Anyway. Shaldak. I've gone back up the page now, thanks to you lot.
Skaldak.
So Skaldak.
You've got the ice warrior sending off his signal.
Yeah, tell the captain.
Skaldak.
Oh, yeah. Stepashin.
Skaldak.
Tells the captain that he thinks the ice warrior is a Western weapon. He gets dismissed. Harm one of us, and you harm us all, is the ancient Martian code. A soldier knows another soldier, he'll smell it on you. He'll smell it on you a mile off, says the Doctor.
Ew.
And wouldn't he smell it on you, Doctor, says Captain Zhukov, which was a really good point. Clara is sent to talk to Skaldak, as of course it's always got to be the companion. I know she volunteered.
S-C-E-N-T?
What?
S-C-E-N-T?
I'll ignore that.
Yeah.
So it's sent with a radio connection to the Doctor after he said it would never happen.
She goes, exactly. Right after she says, no, not at all, not at all. And then, da-dun, there she is.
Yeah. The Doctor promises Skaldak that Mars will rise again, but Skaldak says there will be no help after lamenting his daughter. Clara finds that Skaldak is not in his suit. He gets away. Clara asks if she did okay, and the Doctor says it wasn't a test, but she did okay. I got a cough, sorry.
Looking for approval for what she did.
Yes, indeed. Skaldak thinks he has been
I was just going to say she was treating it like a game until she saw those bodies and it became real, like she said.
Yeah. Skaldak thinks he has been abandoned. The sub starts to move on its little cliff shelf thing. Skaldak gets to Stepashin and grabs him with spindly fingers. Captain Zhukov rallies his crew. Stepashin tells...
Well, better than Lego hand.
Very funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stepashin tells Skaldak of mutually assured destruction. Clara asks the doctor about their chances of surviving, and the doctor says, history is in flux. It can be changed, rewritten.
Yeah, wow. This is new since Matt Smith has come along, is this history being, you know, changeable.
Time can be rewritten.
Indeed. Yeah. No more of these, you know, fixed points in time that can't be changed.
That's right.
When they want their
Did you notice the doctor said something about, what's her name? Genoese Coleman. What's her name? Clara. She said something about that she exists, so therefore, but I don't know, it's just something a bit funny about that.
Or as the Doctor Who podcast caller, Clara.
It just occurred to me, time can be rewritten, but wouldn't you think that the total destruction via mutual assured destruction of the planet Earth would be a fixed point in time?
I would think so, yeah.
Good point. Anyway.
But there's always some Moffat
and
logic
Matt
that's
Smith
not...
have come along, you know, with that Angels episode, and now all of a sudden, you know, anything can be redone.
Yeah.
Anyway, the professor hands the doctor his sonic screwdriver, asking if it will help. The professor, I could kiss you, if you insist, later.
What was with the Barbie doll? Was that the Barbie doll on the string? I guess that was just stuff that was in the doctor's pockets.
I don't know.
Going back to Genesis of the Daleks sort of thing.
Yeah, that's what I immediately thought as well.
Could be, yeah. Anyway, the doctor.
Was anyone else surprised to see David Warner not turn on them at the end?
Yeah, but no, I was surprised he wasn't playing a baddie. All the way through. That's made a nice change, and he was wonderful.
He was lovely.
Oh yeah,
I'm glad they didn't kill him off because that would have been a disappointment.
Yeah,
hey, he played the good guy in The Omen.
Did he?
I haven't seen The Omen.
He lost his head in The Omen.
Did he?
Oh,
yeah, a sheet of glass.
Well, Patrick Troughton got a church spire for the top of his...
I thought Patrick Troughton was in that one as well.
He was. Mm.
Yes, he was. He was a priest.
Yeah. I've seen the scene where the church spire kind of...
Skewers Patrick Troughton.
shish kebab, the doctor.
That's the one, yeah. Anyway, the Dr. Clark...
On the audio commentary to The Omen,
yes.
You've got Richard... what's
you're swearing again, Robert.
Well, I could have a fist, can't I? You know, on the commentary, Richard Donner's trying to remember the TV series that Patrick Troughton was in. He's going, oh, it was something, and then they moved the topic on and didn't even get to say Dr.
Who. He probably was joking.
No. If you listen to it, it sounds very honest that he can't remember what series he was in.
Really?
Yeah.
No, speaking of your little swearing there a minute ago, we're right up to the point where the two Russian submariners are wandering through, and they swear. They say
maybe they were running so fast and they knocked themselves a few times.
Say in Russian?
Well, whatever they're swearing in Russian, the TARDIS is translating into an English swear word.
Yeah, but the TARDIS isn't there. That's what gets me with this. So.
Yeah, that's number one of my four problems with the story. That was my number one problem with it.
I don't, because it can be explained by the fact that they've been in the TARDIS and the TARDIS affects them. You know what I mean?
And technically, so had the audience, but...
Of course, we don't know till
when you said they were Russian, I mean, they couldn't really run that fast, could they? Because of the corridors, there was lots of... Sorry, Mary, I didn't mean to interrupt you then.
Yeah, I mean, we all think that the TARDIS is nearby. It's not till the end that we discover it's all the way at the South Pole.
Yeah, but it didn't arrive at the South Pole until the end because he got a signal from his sonic screwdriver. The universal sonic screwdriver, a bit like a Swiss Army knife, that sonic screwdriver.
Mm, the magic wand.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, the Doctor, Clara, and the Professor wander the corridors, and the Professor tried to get Clara singing Hungry Like a Wolf by Duran Duran. Skaldak captures some crew members. The Doctor... That's not the Doctor catches some clue members in that particular lyric.
The Doctor catches some clue members.
Yeah. The Doctor, Clara, and Professor are too late. They have been dismantled. Skaldak has dismantled the crew members forensically.
For forensic, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Clara is a bit disturbed by it, but not too much. It must have been pretty gruesome.
What?
I mean, what? Well, she's not that. She's a bit upset. Well, I mean, I think most young girls who'd never seen a dead body before, because I doubt she has. Maybe her mum, perhaps, but not in a gruesome, torn apart sort of way like right. happened to these people. Would right. have screamed or vomited or ran off, but she sort of reacted in a sort of fairly calm way. But doesn't matter. So obviously.
Well, she was quiet for quite a bit of the rest of the episode, and she brought it up, so to speak, later on in the episode. Yeah.
Okay, I'll accept that. The professor asks Clara what it is. She thought she had done the scary stuff. She says that seeing the bodies, it has all got very real. As we obviously, it's a very good point that you just made yourself. Pardon?
I just went,
Sorry, I thought you were shouting to someone in another room then, Robert. You went all quiet. The doctor finds Stepashin's body and then realises that Skaldak is in the room. He remarks about how fast...
Say it right, it's Skaldak.
Quiet. He remarks about how fast he is, and then they are not while they are in their armour. And it's quite interesting that when he was in his armour, the little walking motion was quite, you know, accurate in relation to how the Ice Warriors used to walk in the 60s and 70s. So I quite liked the way they did that. The professor makes small talk with Clara and tries to take a mind off things.
Aye, aye.
All he wants to know is whether Ultravox split up. And they did, in fact, but they got back together again.
When I thought he would have turned bad, because he said, I need to know, tell me about the future. Do Ultravox split up?
Yeah.
But for a second, I thought he was trying to find out about the future.
And then she gets grabbed by Skaldak. The professor shoots at Skaldak and releases her, but then grabs the professor.
Skaldak.
Pardon?
Skaldak.
Skaldak.
Clara begs Skaldak not to hurt him. The doctor arrives. The Cheshire Cat says that the Martian law decrees that all life on Earth is forfeit. The doctor pleads...
Hold on, can I ask people, what do people think of the Ice Warrior outside of it?
That's all right. I didn't like the bit where it looked like a Cheshire Cat.
I think we should discuss that after we're done.
Yeah, okay. Let's carry on then. This is a very fairly quick synopsis, because it was a fairly straightforward story, which for me is great. I don't like having to look into every single tiny little detail of a story to try and understand it. But anyway, so I'll carry on. The Doctor's pleading with Skaldak. Skaldak's suit closes itself, and Captain Zukov arrives with a gun, saying that he will do anything to defend his world. Does that include the United States? I think it probably does. Skaldak's suit walks into the room. He gets in and saunters off. He readies the warheads. And the Doctor pleads a little bit more. The Doctor threatens to blow the sub up to save the world. Skaldak takes his helmet off. That's what she said. He looks a bit like a Silurian, but the pupils in the eyes are really cool. Skara...
By Silurian, I guess you mean the original Silurians.
Sorry. Clara asks Skaldak...
Like a current Silurian at all.
No, exactly.
No. I meant... Stop being awkward. Clara asks Skaldak why he hesitated. Then she talks a bit of sense into Skaldak, a bit like Victory of the Daleks, when Amy talked a bit of sense into the professor and Bracewell. That's it. Yeah, thank you. A beam suddenly grabs the submarine and lifts it to the surface. An Ice Warrior ship. It was an Ice Warrior ship that brought the ship up to service. Skaldak wants to press the button. The Doctor has one last bit of pleading before Skaldak gets beamed up to his ship. Clara sings Hungry Like a Wolf very nervously. And the warhead is... and the warhead is disarmed. Save the world then, says Clara.
That's those submariners earlier were disarmed when they had their arms ripped from them.
Very good. Save the world, then, says Clara. That's what we do.
I like that. That was a good line.
Yeah. Scale of the sub, while it is on the surface, is good. I mean, it does look massive. The spaceship looks like
this. When I was watching with a few people, we had a little get-together here, and they showed the sub and everyone standing on top of it, I stage whispered, "It's only a model."
Yeah, and the spaceship looked a little bit like an Atraxi-ish sort of type spaceship for me, but
yes, it did.
Not
little.
That's a similar sort of design. Clara asks where the TARDIS is. The Doctor says it is the opposite pole after he reset the hostile action display.
Can we have a
look?
I made a note at the bottom of the page. Second viewing, still love it, and I watched it again to write the questions for this week's. You won't get this one a third time, and still love it.
No, I don't.
There's not much I can say about it. Apart from there are a couple of little bits and bobs that I picked up on.
When
it's not perfect. No, Doctor.
Heads?
Do you mind? I don't know. We'll ask that question in a minute because it's not the quiz yet. No Doctor Who story is perfect. There's always little things you can pick out that right. are a little bit contentious. But this, for me, is a traditional Doctor Who story. This felt more like Doctor Who than it has done for a long, 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 long time. It was a straightforward story. Sub at Siege, basically. A bit like Horror of Fang Rock, but in a sub. It really felt like you were in the sub as well, not like that blooming 42.
Exactly.
That was like a place at Siege again, but it was a bit not as good as this. So basically, this is, for me, Mark Gatiss's second best script for Doctor Who, second best story. He's back on form with it. His first one was
What is his? Your favourite that you reckon is his first?
I mean, his first one is probably just slightly better than this one. Which was
Unquiet Dead.
Slightly better than this. This is better than everything else apart from that. And I just think this is great. This is proper Doctor Who, and it's a brilliant way to bring back the Ice Warriors. It's a shame there's only one Ice Warrior, but it's still... The way that
there's the assumption that there's more in that ship.
Yeah, of course there is, but we only get to see the one because the budget obviously didn't extend.
Just like there was the assumption that there were more Time Lords than the four we saw in the end of time.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that we can make that assumption because they only ever talk in the singular when they say, "Did you bring a mammoth?" And it says, "No, it's not a mammoth." You know, it's they keep referring to it in the singular.
Judging by the size of it, it was only a baby mammoth.
I think
mammoth.
He was just the one.
Yeah. But yeah, so for me, that was great. It was really, really good stuff. I really enjoyed it. That's all I'm going to say. I can't really say much else. I mean, I've picked up in my synopsis is just a couple of tiny little silly little things that don't really amount to anything.
Class some of them as plot holes.
I just completely disagree with Ben about Jenna Louise Coleman. I think she's great.
She was
really, really good in this one.
I'm going to tell it to his face. Well, his ears.
I think she's this one specifically. This is her best performance so far.
Her character in this seemed very incidental. She didn't figure centrally in anything that was going on.
I think Gatiss was writing for a just a standard companion, not.
It could have been anybody in that part.
Say, actually, on that, before I forget, that David Warren was fantastic, but underused. I'd say, but he was very sweet as a guest star.
It seemed like Clara's main job throughout this episode was to keep David Warner entertained.
Sorry,
Liam Cunningham was good too.
Yeah, they were all good. That was brilliant. The cast were great in this. It was just fantastic. They did a great, great job. And I say it was a pretty low budget production, but you could really believe they were in a submarine. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Really, really good production.
The feeling it was good.
Yeah, that's what reminded me of old Doctor Who, the model, because it really did look like one of the old, films that the BBC used to make in the 70s.
That was something that I liked was the fact that they did do the model and they figured it out in the confidential extreme cut down.
Bit of a shame.
The 4 minute confidential.
Yeah.
Better than nothing.
I'm glad they're still making those though.
Yeah, that was cool.
I haven't seen any of them. But anyway, Kirby, I interrupted you.
I put a link to the YouTube of it on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Facebook page.
Hmm. Okay.
Haven't had a chance to see it.
Matthew has just said he's sent in feedback.
Who is?
Matthew.
Okay, good. Well, I've got loads of feedback. Great, this week. Anyway, yeah, go on, Kirby. What did you think?
Oh, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. It's, I'm so glad I didn't have to join in last week because last week rings of boring, rings of singing.
So the rings of
I've only managed to watch once. And
so now we've got. Obviously, it's on a par with Curse of the Bad Plot. If you're not calling it by its proper title.
No, this was not Curse of the Bad Plot, but
it was Rings of Boring.
That was nothing.
It was better than that, but still. Anyway, I loved Cold War, and I had very few issues with it. I still had issues with it, but that's fine. I always have issues.
It's a good episode.
I mean, plot hole number one was the whole TARDIS translation circuit. I didn't realize that it was planet-wide. Plot hole number two is what I call Deus Ex Ice Warrior.
Yeah.
Where the Ice Warrior ship just appears at the last minute.
That would be Ice Warrior Ex Machina.
Okay. Fine. <Yeah.
laughs> Otherwise, it's God out of the Ice Warrior.
I mean, obviously, they set that up with the fact that he, Skaldak, did send out the distress call, but it just was too convenient.
Yeah, I could see where you're coming from, but that happens a lot in TV shows.
Yeah, I know.
And it happens just when they need it to happen.
None of these is a ruiner at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had trouble with the fact that, Captain Zhukov and Lieutenant Stepishin, they had these two really great scenes where they showed that they were disagreeing on how things should be approached, particularly in Cold War, and then they just kill Stepishin before Zhukov could have another confrontation with him. It was just midway, just kill him. And then I still don't understand what Skaldak did to make the sub go out of control. But
That was the Ice Warrior running amok.
Actually, since all of the ice had to melt someplace and there was probably dirt down there, it was probably amok for him to run across.
Right then. Are you done, Kirby?
It was. I loved it.
Good. Mm. Right, Mary, go on.
That's what she said.
Oh, I'm always looking for what I call just a good cracking story, and that's what I got this. You know, again, a lot of crazy detail that you had to be paying attention to, which to take you off the story. So I really like that.
How many times did you watch it?
I've watched it twice now. And the first time I just, you know, got into it and just really enjoyed it. And the second time I watched it, it was more to see, you know, what did I miss, you know, we're all going to talk about the next day. And there wasn't a whole lot.
The only thing I missed, I didn't pick up on some of the names of peripheral characters.
That is what Wikipedia is for.
That's what the title sequence is for.
But we already talked about how, you know, Clara was kind of sidelined, and yeah, I agree that Gatiss probably wrote a generic companion story, because she didn't
Let's just say his name right for this episode. Gatiss.
Yes.
Yeah, and I did know, you know, that both Clara and David Warner were kind of sidelined. Entertaining each other. Hey, I'm American. We pronounce it Clara here.
The name is Clara.
Stop it.
You're rich. You know,
yeah, but you say season instead of series. It's just a mispronunciation. It doesn't matter.
Yes,
that's the correct word.
It's just a regional thing. There was something I was going to tell
you. Sorry.
Something kind of a sideline thing is I've also been watching The Keys of Marinus.
I love that story.
What made me kind of sit up and pay attention is I think I saw the prototype to the Ice Warriors, because in one of the episodes, one of the keys is in the big block of ice being guarded by, and the text says ice soldiers, but who are dressed very similarly to the Ice Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't talk or anything, so you don't know how they would sound, but boy, they sure looked like, you know, precursors to the Ice Warriors.
Oh, could well be. Well done.
Yeah.
Who's next? Oh, sorry, Mary, I thought you finished.
Go ahead, because I can't remember the other thing that I wanted to say. Oh, yeah. The other thing I wanted to say is I have to give a lot of credit in this episode because... Yeah,
Sorry, that got talked over. Who's getting a lot of credit?
Matt Smith.
Oh, yeah.
His acting in this was just amazing because I think he alone carried a lot of that tension and worry that I felt while watching it. Because second time through, I noticed the other crew members on the submarine never seemed to be particularly worried about what was going on. But he really was all the way through. And I think then I was really identifying with him. So I give him a lot of credit in this episode for carrying the feel of the story.
I wonder if he watched any of the old Ice Warrior stories before doing this one.
Probably.
Ice Warriors.
Yeah.
What he said behind the scenes was it felt like the water dripping down from the ceiling did... yeah, it is, actually. He said it felt like the water dripping down from the ceiling did a lot of the acting for him, yet he still did a great job. So it's like he's half worrying about it, but he still did a fantastic job.
Yeah, I kept worrying about some of the lights and stuff possibly electrocuting everyone on set.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure they would have taken precautions.
Well, it was just like the Mars.
That's what she said.
The Mars episode, The Waters of Mars with all the water, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And in the Confidential, the actual real Confidential, they discussed that.
Mm. And there was a passing reference of to the Ice Warriors in Waters of Mars, which was quite useful.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Well, can I just say, I was listening to a previous Staggering Stories episode where they announced one of the video games for Doctor Who that you could download from the BBC site. And it was the one with the Vashti Narada in the underwater station. And one of the quotes from Stephen Moffat was, "We're doing this in a video game because it would be far too expensive to do a Doctor Who episode set entirely underwater." And I was saying that just as I was about to watch this.
Well, there you go. Right, the news. Who's next? Changed. Have you done one yet, Reese, in regards to this episode? I'm losing track of things today. Have you spoken about what you think of it?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Well, go on then.
I've only seen it once, but this is the first episode of these three that I can say I loved first time round without having to think about which bit I liked most.
Same here.
I thought it was a great romp, and it was nice and simple, but that just made it even better.
Yes.
You don't need to have your mind...
How have you only had time to watch it once? You were watching
Reese.
What's that?
You were watching it about the same time that I was watching it for my first time. I've managed to watch it 3.5 times.
I had homework to do the day
Kirby,
that I saw.
Other people have lives.
Thank you, Mary. I was going to try and be tactful about it, but...
Go on then, Robert. Let's have it. Come on.
Did you know that the guy who played the Ice Warrior was also the creature in the Gob Complex?
What, yes, Nicholas Briggs?
The Widow in the Wardrobe as well.
Nicholas Briggs.
Spencer Wilding. He was also a Vogon soldier in Hitchhiker's movie. And
I thought it was Nicholas Briggs.
The voice.
No, that's on BBC One, just after Doctor Who, wasn't it? With Jesse J, Tom Jones, Will I Am, and Danny from the script. Sorry, Robert, carry on.
It was the Crotons was the last time we had the Hads as well.
What was it? Thank you for that.
I agree with what you guys have said. It is very enjoyable. I loved a traditional sort of Doctor Who story rather than something, I don't know, experimental. They seem to be experimenting a lot, I think, this series, if you ask me.
Well, I've been a little afraid lately. Yeah, I've been watching the episodes kind of sink into a comedy one-liner episodes where, you know, everything is a funny line, and, you know, and that to me, that's really degraded the whole brand. So it's good to have
That was back in during the Fourth Doctor's era.
Towards the end, yeah.
Yeah, towards the end. Nine.
I've got a bit of a fun fact that Edward Russell tweeted the other day about this episode, but the music for it was composed while Murray was in the Sydney Opera House, looking over the Sydney Harbour, and he composed it while he was here between doing the shows.
Oh, there you go.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you know the last time we actually saw the Ice Warriors was in the Munster of Peladon back in 1974?
The Munster of Peladon?
Monster of Peladon.
The Monster of Peladon.
Right then. I'll tell you what, this is, we have
That's
a world record.
Isn't it?
World record for this show, anyway, for 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcasting, the amount of feedback we've had. For the show. Ooh. One of which was supposed to be for last week, but unfortunately it didn't arrive until while I was editing the show. First, are you ready for some feedback?
I know who that is.
I wonder whose that is.
First, a bit of feedback is from somebody called Julia Bartlett Sloan. Interesting that it doesn't say geek daughter on this, it just says Julia Bartlett Sloan. But there you go. Questions. The Leaf. This is obviously to do with the Rings of... Sorry, the Rings of Boredom, was it? Or Akaten?
The Wrongs of Akaten.
Questions. The Leaf. I don't understand how the Leaf is supposed to represent an infinite number of futures untold. I thought that it just represented one moment that brought Clara's parents together.
I
think it was just talking about a separate thing after she'd... I'm going to say brought the Leaf out, but somebody's going to say that's what she said. But after she'd shown the Leaf, I thought that he kind of just started going off, continuing his speech.
Okay.
But that's what I thought.
Okay. It's interesting that mention of the Leaf has reminded me of something I said in a previous episode, not necessarily about the Leaf, but about who Clara might be, and I referred to Cal and some of... her presence reminded me a little bit of the Silence in the Library stroke. What was the second half of that story called?
Forest of the Dead.
It just reminded me a little bit of that. But I was listening to the Bigger on the Inside podcast this morning, and Mike from the Bigger on the Inside podcast rather sort of made me think even more that it might have some connection with that, because he said, and it was a brilliant analogy, the Leaf was like... in the library, was it? How did he put it? It was a forest in a library. That Leaf was part of the forest, the book being part of the library.
Oh, yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I just thought it just reinforced that thought a little bit. Obviously, like I said about the woman who gave Clara the phone number, and I said, could it be River? Again, that would be a connection to that story. Could be wrong, but it's a very interesting... And it rather reinforced my thought that it could be, because obviously at the end of that story, people were brought out, were sort of brought back from the computer to life, weren't they? Apart from obviously River.
Yes.
You can imagine
probably reading far more into
it. It's possible, but you can imagine that Clara could be one of the people that came out of the computer.
Yeah, could be.
I don't think it's likely to be Cal, but it could be. The fact there's a few of them, maybe they brought back a few. Yeah, anyway, moving on.
Actually, speaking of the Leaf, I came up with a theory when I first saw The Bells of St. John. In that episode, it was a bit smaller than it was in the Rings of Akaten.
Yes,
that's what she said.
Yes, it
and it was a maple leaf, too.
No, not a sycamore.
You know, the answer to that is they've got two different books. Clara got her own book as well as her mother.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying... When I saw the one in The Bells of St. John, it was a maple leaf, and I thought that would tie in with the fact that the ship we saw the first Clara on was Alaska, and Alaska is right next door to Canada, where you kind of commonly get maple leaves.
Yeah, but I thought it was a sycamore leaf, which is quite similar to a maple leaf.
Okay.
My first impression was that it was a maple.
Yeah.
We might have to look up sycamore and maple leaves on the internet to see which one it looked most like. Anyway, moving on back to Julia Bartlett Sloan's email. The next question, the Doctor. Because the creature took the memories of the Doctor, will he have any of those painful memories? With those memories, were there not companions who were lost or dead that would have had an infinite number of futures untold? Good point again.
good point.
I get the feeling that the memories were returned when the sun or the whatever it was disappeared.
I got a feeling they were shared. They were shared.
Yeah, that was one of my disappointments. Yeah. I thought the doctor was really sacrificing memories, but it turned out he actually didn't.
Yeah. In general, if the creature has been killing the little girls for a long time, do they not represent an infinite number of untold futures that would have sufficed? Another good point.
Well,
does no one in the ceremony have anything to offer that is just as meaningful as the leaf? If they do not believe the creature to be as important... If they do believe the creature to be as important like a god, shouldn't they be willing to give up sentimental objects like the leaf? Or do they not count because their gifts were given before the creature was awakened? Comments.
Stop slapping my ears.
Who just broke wind then? Well, it wasn't
that
me.
It could be me.
Oh, it was you. Very audible, Robert.
Audible.
I waited for a quiet moment.
Yeah, very quiet. Unlike the... Anyway, moving on. I was sad to see the leaf go. It was slow at pace at times. Loved the beginning with the meeting of Clara's parents. Loved all the aliens. Great makeup and costumes. I think that Clara didn't have a TARDIS key, and that's the only reason it didn't let her in. But it is translating for her now, though.
I need to teach her that TARDIS is all caps. Well, I'm reading long.
Oh, God.
Other comments. I think the two ages missing from the 101 places to see was the other two times we saw her. Initially, I thought that she was 16 in Victorian London and 23 in Dalek Asylum, just because she was more wild and unpredictable in Victorian London. Now I think she is 16 on Dalek Asylum and 23 in Victorian London because in Asylum of the Daleks, she wished her mother a happy birthday. I circled back and found that Clara's mother died when Clara was 16-ish. So because she was stuck on the asylum, she wouldn't have known that her mother died.
I could see that. Yeah.
But she could also have been doing it posthumously. Some people bake cakes for that.
Yeah, I guess so. Possible. Yeah, when we were in New York last week and watched this, I was taking a nap and found
rather
out
like
that,
Clara at the beginning of this story.
Yeah, and found out that Julia wrote up all this while I was asleep without asking me any of the questions. That's kind of cool.
It is indeed. Anyway, thank you, Julia. Please continue to write into the show.
If we had recorded on yesterday, I had just about convinced her to actually be on the show.
Oh.
Sorry about that. Anyway, this is from James Billington. What?
I was just going to say, one of my favorite bits with the Ice Warrior was, there was a scene in the trailer, but when it was marching towards two of the crew members... just down one of the corridors and they were shooting at it, that just looked really big and imposing and scary.
Yeah. Okay. This is from James...
Go, Doug!
This is from James Billington for a fifth time. I love this episode. This is the email he sent just before the... out of time for last week's episode. I love this episode showing off the new doctor-companion relationship. From the opening, the doctor is shown to be looking into Clara's life, trying to find out how she is connected to the previous iteration? Is that a word?
Iteration.
Okay. Yeah. Of her we have seen. Maybe now she has realised that the girl on the swing of Bells of St. John prequel, who gave him the idea of shutting himself away in 1207, was Clara. Clara is clearly an interesting object with a blasé approach.
Oh, that she is.
The blasé approach to her when they reach the market and he just leaves her standing. Although this does give us more time to see the fantastic and marketplace itself. That's exactly how it's written, by the way. Clara comments how the TARDIS doesn't like her. This must be by she doesn't. I am reading this word for word, by she doesn't understand most of the aliens, but is that more to do with Clara and the TARDIS, or how the Doctor doesn't see her quite a companion just yet? As to the plot line, it seemed very much a short story bulked out with a clear Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark adventure feel, with a marketplace and reach under the door for the sonic screwdriver, the resolution starting with the Doctor clearly showing fear and finding hope in the singing girl stroke crowds, and the leaf being the resolution, not just worth the story of how it came to Clara, but the infinite possibilities that it could have led to, showing that Clara is another strong female companion. But are we going to have each episode starting with the Doctor picking Clara up?
No.
Yeah,
I hope not. All in all, I think this could have been shorter, then it would have been a half hour story, surely. But just for the set designs, I think Rings of Akaten was a beautiful episode with a very ethereal feel.
Ethereal real feel.
And some action chucked in just for fun. Thank you, James. That's for last week's episode. Oh, for God's sake.
Lovely.
And I hope this works. This is some audio feedback.
That's what she said.
Be quiet.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood, California. With my impressions of the Rings of Akaten, or however you pronounce it, I liked this episode. I have some questions about it, but I did like it. I liked the whole Star Wars cantina feel of the planet, with all the different aliens. The different alien costumes were pretty cool and unique. I liked the performance of the little girl. I thought she was really good actress. I have my biggest question, I guess, is, and I'm sure this has been discussed at this point in the podcast, but towards the end, when the Doctor is you know, giving his memories and stories to the big planet god or whatever, I'm not even sure what that thing was, and then Clara comes and saves him. Well, she comes and gives the planet the leaf, and she's saying all this thing about this book is full of things that never happened or could have happened or infinite possibilities. I really should rewatch the episode because I'm not sure what the hell she's talking about. Maybe I just missed it. So maybe you guys have explained it by now, and I already know due to hindsight because I've already listened to the podcast at this point. If you guys could explain what she was talking about and what she meant by that. And also, the Doctor, you know, gave the planet his story about, all the things he's seen. And then, apparently he gets to keep those memories, you know, or that story. But Clara loses the leaf. As you see, the leaf disintegrates when, it vaporizes when she's done, giving her story to the planet. So I just thought that was odd. And I knew dead on at the beginning of the episode those were her parents with the leaf, you know, smacking the dad in the head, and that's how they met and everything. And I think it wrapped in together real nicely about, from the prequel, well, I guess not the prequel, but the little 2-minute excerpt before the season started of Clara on the swing, and you see how it ties in with the mom and the Doctor watching her. So I thought it was really good. I can see how a lot of people are going to have problems with this episode, with the singing of the chorus and everything, and how there's like a double resolution. So it's a fairly complex episode, I think. I did enjoy it, but like I said, I do have questions. So maybe you guys have, we'll discuss it. What really happened at the last, 5 minutes of that story? And also, one other thing, like I mentioned last week's feedback, this is unique. This companion is unique because, as you see, he always drops her back off at home at the end of each adventure. You know, she's not staying in the TARDIS with him continuously. She's like a day-to-day companion, even though, their adventures could span weeks and years. Due to the TARDIS, and traveling in time. But she, at the end of each episode, he drops her off at home. And that's unique. I haven't seen that in any episode of any Doctor Who companion, old or new. I mean, classic or present. So I thought that was interesting. Anyway, enough about me, enough of my rambling. Interested to hear what you guys have to say about the episode. And hope you have a great week. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick. Now, anybody be able to answer any of those questions?
No.
Well, the thing was, he did say about the interesting point that he said that about it being complicated, or something that I alluded to last week, and that was related to the fact that I had a novel worth of show notes. So, yes, it was very complicated, Patrick, to cut a long story short. Yes, it was.
No, right. The beginning was, the rest wasn't.
Yes, it was, all round. Well, I'm right.
No, you're just dumb.
Right. No, I'm right.
Because you think it's confusing.
Right, we're going to try and get this one to work. This is from Patrick Bishop.
Greetings to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood with my feedback for the Ice Warriors. Actually, not the Ice Warriors. It's Cold War. Well, same thing. Anyway, I really enjoyed the episode. I like these kinds of Doctor Who episodes where... you know, they're in like cramped quarters, like one, like a single surrounding, like you had an impossible planet, another like arc in space. I like it when the story is set in one setting and they're confined. I think it adds to the suspense of it. I had never seen the Ice Warriors before from the previous classic show, so it's my first introduction to them, and I enjoyed them. I think they're great villains. I think. In the, you know, over the net, you would hear people saying that they were bad villains classically because they move slow and they talk slow and everything. I think this episode kind of actually counteracted all that. Number one, you're on a submarine, so even if they did move slow, it wouldn't matter. If you're in a sub, you're not going to be able to run that much far away from them, so they get to you anyway. But then they also showed... you know, the Ice Warrior coming out of his suit, and as you can tell from the episode, when they're out of their suit, they move pretty fast, like lizards, I guess. So so I guess that kind of cancels out the they're too slow to be a properly menacing villain. The cast was great. The captain of the submarine, he's on Game of Thrones, I'm not sure what his name is, he was great. And also I guess it was the professor, the guy who was obsessed with 80s bad...
and Marianne.
David Warner.
Bands. He was great. And I don't know the actor's name who played the first officer, the one who was colluding with the Ice Warrior at the end, but he's been in a lot of things. I just can't remember his name. And I can't even...
He's going to be in Games of Thrones.
But I've seen him in so much stuff. So great cast. Great, great cast. One thing I noticed, you know, people made mention from the last episode that the TARDIS didn't translate the languages for Clara, but this time, you know, this episode, it spells it out that, you know, it is translating Russian for her. She is speaking Russian. So
that's right.
I guess, you know, as soon as we think in fandom we're onto something, you know, the series kind of, you know, sends us in a new direction. So, yes, the TARDIS is translating for Clara.
Even though the TARDIS wasn't anywhere near them.
I didn't even catch any... quote-unquote, who is, what is Clara sequences. I think this is a pretty straightforward adventure for her. I believe there's one sequence early on where the sonic screwdriver gets dropped in the water and she dives down to pick it up. And then it goes into a dream sequence or something, and then next thing you know, she's dry, and she's all wet and waking up from being unconscious.
I bet she's, that's what she said. It.
Not sure what happened there. So maybe that, maybe that has some kind of significance, but it seemed like an odd scene for her to dive down to pick up the sonic screwdriver and then go unconscious or something like that and have some kind of weird mood-altering experience. So who knows, that might play into it. And speaking on that, on the Clara thing, I love the actress. I love her work. I think she's great. My fear, probably what I think is going to happen, is that Moffat is going to drag this whole mystery out to the end of the series. Which
you can
I hope
guarantee
they
it.
Do, but think about it. We're three stories in. To this section, and we're no real closer to finding out who she is and what the connection is, and connection to all these other previous characters in time. So I think it's going to be dragged out, and I don't, from previews to next week's episode, I don't really see it focusing on that either. So we're just going to get you know, drip fed this who is Clara mystery the whole season. I want Doctor Who to be about the adventures, you know, the Doctor and his companion going on adventures. I'm kind of tired of the always having this long thread integral to some kind of a quirk with the companions. The companions should be companions.
Yes.
There's always seems to be some kind of like special magic to the companion.
Magic sat down here.
I mean, it's not bad, but we've had it for almost every companion. There's been something special about them that ties into
no parents.
Whether it was Amy or whether it was Rose.
Well, we don't want it to be bland.
Something magical happens to them, or they are somehow enchanted. You know, the Doctor just needs regular people to travel with, so you know, so he can show the wonders of the universe to them. I'm not saying that doesn't happen with these companions, but it seems like in the new series, the producers always have to add a twist to the companion, and yes. I don't think it's really needed. The stories, the adventures stand on their own. Anyway, that's my rant. Anyway, I love the episode, love the show, love your show. Hope you guys have a great, great week. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. Let's get my audio levels right.
Yeah, thank you.
Mary, aren't you running late?
She's gone.
She's gone.
She's already gone.
Oh.
She didn't even say goodbye.
No, bless her. God. Don't worry, I'll message her to say I completely understand. However, Ben's here.
We miss you, Mary.
Hello.
Hello,
we
Ben.
We miss you, Mary.
Again.
I mean, hi, Ben.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, Patrick's feedback was far too much for Mary. She couldn't take any of it.
Well, I didn't get out halfway through it, so. No, I didn't.
Go on then, Ben.
Well, Jenna Louise Coleman looks fit in a wet dress.
She does. I did allude to this earlier on.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Well, alright, okay. It was better than last week's, but
it
that
was.
Doesn't go. Too far. It was all right. Nothing
you can tell when it's a good episode if Ben says it was all right.
Yeah.
No. Good episodes. That was good. All right episodes. That was all right.
I don't ever remember saying it was good.
It was nothing massively special. It was spoilt by the fact that they gave Jenna Louise Coleman a coat to wear for most of the episode, to be honest. I think it would have been a lot better if that hadn't been the situation. But so,
I'd agree with that.
From all concerned, and the great set design and a pretty good score. No, it's just generally Louise Coleman. I'm with you there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, just think how much better that episode would have been if she'd have got her breasts out.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, quite agree.
Yes,
definitely on a different time slot.
See that? Well, talking about her slot, I don't know.
What oh my
about,
god! But,
and does she have a time slot because she's been travelling in the TARDIS?
That's why the TARDIS doesn't like her.
Yeah. I've got some more feedback.
Hold on a minute.
What?
You look careful with your disgusting, so I've just got to turn my fish fingers over.
Okay.
Have you got custard with those?
So I'm currently in the process of doing the dog's dinner anyway, so I was going to say listen out for a smell, but I actually mean...
Listen, can you smell that?
I mean burning smell. Of course, if I do burn the top of Deb's new ceramic cooker, I won't be very popular. Hear what? Well, you let one go? No, that was Robert earlier on.
I've let several go.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. Right, then let's... sort of raise the stakes with this bit of audio feedback.
Hello, Adam, Mary, Robert, Kirby, and I think he's disappeared into the Wi-Fi again. Reese, it's Bonehead.
This is the BBC. Thank you.
On the fields of Trenzalore, there is a question that must never be answered. If Dorian was just a head in a box, how can he scratch when it itches?
That must be torture.
The former UK Prime Minister has been cremated next Wednesday.
And great!
Not on Saturday. That might have changed the Saturday TV schedules. It's all right. Her friends want me to understand my accent. Oh, and it's not Cher. On the fields of Trenzalore, there is a question that must never be answered. A Dalek has no nose. Then how does he smell, Doctor?
Oh, no.
In the Rings of Acca 11... They never mentioned what would actually happen if a gas giant just disappeared. That's what distorts my ring system. Cold War by Mark Gatiss. The third episode of this season. Series. You say potato, and I say Santorin.
Hey?
It reminded me of the hunt for Red October. It is a pity they could not afford Sean Connery. You are a shite doctor, for sure eyes. Don't make a scene. I mean a Sean.
Very
you
funny.
Illiterate swine.
The Ice Warrior has a strange way of pronouncing the letter S, like Sean Connery. There is a lot of rushing about. It has been a couple of years since they've reintroduced a creature on this scale. No, a creature with scales.
God.
There seem to be some references to previous episodes.
Yes.
The doll looks like Rose Tyler, the comeback kid.
She died.
She was also the bad wolf, and they mentioned crazy like a wolf. They're facing a menace underwater. The Ice Warrior is chained up like a Dalek in Dalek.
I think it's the world that can stop me now.
You can't go to the South Pole in a submarine because it is inland. How could they think it was a mammoth in that block of ice?
That's what I thought.
It looks like brass monkeys in there.
Oh, God.
I like this episode, as I do most Doctor Who. Ice Warriors are cool.
They are.
Jeff Waddell on the Facebook page says it is like Marmite. Well, you don't want to get Marmite on your TV screen. On the fields of Trenzalore, there is a question that must never be answered. Is the face of Bo a victim of the headless monks? What is the difference between that submarine and Christopher Eccleston's future plans? Fewer leaks.
Oh, PRS issues. Have you played to play this song? Or have you in trouble?
It's only 4 seconds, it's fine.
Doesn't matter, anything over 2 seconds has to be logged and paid for.
That's the only thing over 8 seconds.
Does it? Or is that why the BBC didn't play what would have been the number one record if they hadn't fixed the charts yesterday?
No,
I'm going to play it.
The much better version of that song.
I'm not allowed to say
it. Go dig a hole and bury it.
That's for everybody who listened to the chart show yesterday and ended up desperately disappointed. There we go. Right.
Did you hear that quote from Kenny Everett? I mean, he's dead now, but before he died, he talked about Margaret Thatcher. Yeah. But no, we were saying.
Did get the Ouija board out?
No, you know what he said? He said, England gave us a kingdom, so we got a king. He said, England gave us a nation, an empire, so we had an emperor. He gave us a country, and we got Margaret Thatcher.
Absolutely true.
Should we have some more feedback?
Did Matthews get in?
Hey?
That's what Matthews she said.
I'm working through it, Robert. I'm working through it. Anyway, I'd like to thank Ian.
I've got to go because his lunch is ready. I've got to go to work. But I'll just let you know the episode was all right.
Which means you loved it. Thank you, Ben.
It really does. It was all right. Anyway.
He liked it. Loved it, yeah.
Song, The Witch is Dead. Glad about that. Mrs. Thatcher was terrible for this country, and if anyone thinks different, they're wrong.
It's a good thing we all agree, then.
Good. All right. I'll see you all later.
Okay. Bye.
See ya.
Thanks, Ben.
Bye.
Right. Right, I got some.
Ben is gone.
Some audio feedback.
Well, good evening to the 22 Megabyte podcasters, and you're only here, it's Sunday night, 7:20, just listen to the Archers. Very bad news that Tom and Brendan have told their families they've split up, and it's not gone well for them. It's pretty heartbreaking stuff, actually.
Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Archers podcast.
It was a lovely dawn, of course. We've got nice roast beef and Yorkshire pudding, nice bottle of red wine, and
Yeah.
Okay, it's Monday tomorrow, but I'm sure we'll cope with us. Anyway, I want to talk about the Rings of Akatan and also Cold War. Now, I've seen the Rings of Akatan twice, actually. I was doing the ironing both times. It didn't go very well, did it? Dawn has this really nasty habit of leaving bits of paper and tissues in her uniform blouse and going to the washing machine. Ooh. And, of course, it goes everywhere. So I'm picking bits of tissue and bits of paper out of all the ironing and... second time, no, she actually had meant to clean the pockets out, but I still haven't got the knack of ironing fitted sheets. I mean, how do you do the corners?
Welcome to the 20 megabyte house husband podcast.
But I just don't understand how you do fitted sheets. So, like I said, it didn't go well. And the episode itself, Rings of Akatan, it was rubbish, wasn't it? Let's be honest. But Cold War, no, watched Cold War last night. Watched that about midnight. We've been to a friend's housewarming party. I've got to recall, we've been at the rugby, and by the time we got back, it had already started. I thought, I'll leave on the V-plus box and sat and watched it. And, yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. Excuse me, we'll have a sip of wine. Yeah, rather nice, a barefoot South African Sauvignon Blanc, and it's rather nice, actually. Yes. The matter in hand, Cold War. Yeah, the new Ice Warrior. I think you can see the subtle redesign. It's subtly enough. It's not like the Cyberman, where they really have totally changed it.
And what they've
done with the Teletubby Daleks. God, travesty that is. But I think the new Cybermen, big problem. New Ice Warriors are rather good. Yeah, they can definitely throw back to what they originally were, but they changed them enough to show that something like that will be updated. There were some plot holes. I think it's seen on Facebook that Kirby was picking some up as well. I mean, that's what Kirby does.
That's unusual for him.
Because of the plot holes, I mean, of course the ship's going to come at the last minute and teleport him out and save him, but other than that, I think it's what got me. I've just been looking into it again. It's the bit where they're going to, I think it's the emergency thing where all the lights go out, and when I first saw that and you saw Clara's lying on the floor against a bulkhead and everything was blue, I thought, has she actually died and is this now sort of an afterlife type of thing? And I just watched it again, though it wasn't, but at the time it really caught me. I mean, given the fact they've well, how many versions of Clara are there? How many different Claras across time and space are there? I thought perhaps it could be one of those, and you never know. But I thought she was very good. I mean, she's certainly a very feisty character, isn't she? And when she faced up against him, I liked the bit where she chatted to the Doctor through the headphones. I thought that was very well done. But it certainly shows she's a character who's going to... She doesn't seem to be fazed at all by what's going on out there. You know, she accepts. I mean, it's a bit like in a way like Rory was. Rory was, yeah, I'm in an alien universe, you know, totally strange thing happened to me. It's happening, right, let's get on with it, deal with it. You know, she's not going to stand and scream. I don't think she's going to do that. And she is seriously cute. I mean, let's not beat about the bush.
That's what she said.
And he's me and Marion Manners, well, that's disgraceful, isn't it? However, yes, I think it was a very fast-paced story. I mean, things would move along very, very quickly. There was a very hint to Alien when the two seamen were going down the corridor. I'm sure there's a corridor. I'm sure there's another word for that. And then suddenly one got hoisted up by the claw coming down. And that is straight out of Aliens, isn't it? If you see the film.
Yeah, I thought of Aliens when watching this. Well done.
And tooth and claw.
When the Marines get taken apart by the various aliens. God, he said, blimey, aliens straight away. But yeah, I thought that was a good throwback. Now, as well, I think what was interesting is he saw the way that the Doctor is able to get the trust of people straight away. I mean, he's the captain of the Soviet force, and of course, I can remember the Cold War, you know, being a child of the... being born in 65, I can remember the Cold War, thing like that, and the constant threat that came from the Soviet bloc.
Yeah.
And yet it was interesting to see how quickly he was able to gain the trust of the captain, but not of his second officer, or first officer, beg your pardon. Bit of a stereotypical Soviet soldier or something, I think. But I'm trying to think where... I can't think where I've seen him in. He's definitely been in several things. He reminded me a bit of a young Christopher Timothy in a way, but it's not him. But I'm desperately trying to remember, what have I seen that actor whose name... I can't remember, I haven't got Wiki open, and I haven't got time to do it. What have I seen him in? Well, I thought it was a very, very strong episode. And obviously, the first one was very good. Rings of Akatan, yeah, I said it was crap. So I think it's good that we've had two very, very strong episodes out of three so far. And I think it's building it very good. This series is building it very well. I think possibly what we're seeing is Moffat is going to go back to the past. He's going to go pick things up of the past, like pick the Cybermen. Okay, the Daleks, tend to be Daleks for crap, but I think we've seen how we're going to get around that. And obviously, we've got the Reese, cover your ears. Spoiler, spoiler, Reese, la 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 la. We're going to have the Zygons on the 50th anniversary. One of my said baby reminds him of, a sex toy, I think. He was I'll paraphrase, it was a sex toy, that's what he's saying.
This is going to be a sex toy in the 50th anniversary?
But yeah, so far it does look like you've got a very strong, you've got a good TARDIS crew. You've got two people there who are both, I mean, Matt Smith is obviously well set in his role, and I think the way that JLC has jumped into the role is actually superb. When's the last time you saw somebody like that who stepped straight in, took it on and runs with it in the way that she's done with it? She's really a very, very strong character. Interesting to see how long she stays around for. She's probably one of those that could stay for 3-4 years, you know, very much like Sarah Jane did, and actually become really part of the fabric of Doctor Who. Right, well, I've rambled on for 6 minutes now, and I know you don't like to go more than 8 minutes then, so I will hang up soon. Reese, we're going out to Australia in July, coming out to Sydney to watch the Lions, so it'd be nice to catch up with you. And Robert and I, we've all been in touch and mentioned this, we're coming across to Perth for 10 days, part of our immigration plan, so hopefully we'll be able to catch up with you and the rest of you. Oh, by the way, Adam, when Debs was online the other couple of podcasts ago, by golly, Alicia does not sound like her. It's actually
Don't you tell her that.
She's a mother and daughter.
My God.
By golly, you just see what Isabella sounds like when she's a little more mature. Anyway, best wishes to you all. See what happens next Saturday. I'll miss the episode next Saturday when it's on live, so I'll be watching.
So will I. I'm filming a wedding.
And we'll see how it goes, but keep smiling. Bye now.
Bye, Andy and the lovely Dawn. Oh, it's a lovely bit of feedback.
I just realised something. Have you got a laptop, Robert?
A laptop, yes.
Yeah, and a desktop?
Yeah.
Because if he goes and visits you in Western Australia, he could come on the podcast at the same time. He could log on to his Skype account on one of your computers, and he could be on the show with us.
Yeah.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Being able to do that.
That would be excellent. Now, I've got two emails. That was fantastic bit of feedback. I mean, I haven't got a thing about people. When you assist a lot of the Doctor Who podcast, send in your feedback. It must be no longer than 30 seconds. Feedback. That's all I say. I've got two emails from Matthew Kressel here. One says
The second one.
No, it says use this version. Another one hasn't got that on it. Shall I, for a laugh, use the version that doesn't say use this version?
No. You'd only do that if it was me to make fun of me.
Okay, then. Well, here's the one that says use this version from Matthew Kressel.
Play me.
This is Matthew from North Alabama sending in feedback on the Series 7 episode Cold War.
What's
having
that?
Just literally series watched this that? Episode, this may not be as constructed as my usual feedback, so please bear with me. Of all the episodes of Series 7 so far,
what's that?
Both the first half and the back half, this is unequivocally my favorite. And I would also go so far as to say that I think this is Mark Gatiss' strongest script for the series to date. It's part Base Under Siege, which is very appropriate, given that it's featuring the Ice Warriors. It's part Cold War submarine story. And indeed, it makes a very good job of putting itself in the proper time and place. The American exercise that's being mentioned at the beginning of the episode is something known as Able Archer 83, which was a massive NATO exercise, which was basically a preparation for a Soviet invasion of Europe. It was a war game, basically. But Soviets did not know that at the time, and it is, after the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962, the closest the world ever came to nuclear war, because the Soviets went on a high state of alert. Also, while the interior of the submarine is perhaps a bit unbelievable and definitely exaggerated, the exterior of the submarine appears to be a Yankee 1-class nuclear ballistic missile sub, which indeed was a real-life Soviet submarine. So, points on that regard. Good performances all around. I thought Liam Cunningham made a very convincing submarine commander.
He did.
David Warner, the ever excellent David Warner.
Absolutely.
Who makes a very good appearance here. And, of course, the Ice Warrior. The Ice Warrior was really the big attraction of this episode. It was always going to be. And kudos to the production team for bringing it back in style. Updating the original costume a bit. Making it a bit more realistic. Nicholas Briggs, who I'm afraid I'm going to have to disagree with Robert. While I could additionally hear the Jadoon voice, which is something that Robert's been noting, I certainly think that as the episode went on, it became more and more Ice Warrior-like, yeah. Which was definitely good. Mm-hmm. And Nick Briggs in various Big Finish audios, particularly Frozen Time and Thin Ice, both of which are Seventh Doctor stories, showed that he was very good at doing Ice Warrior voices, and he does a superb job here as well. After nearly 50 years of the Ice Warriors being around, we finally get to see what's behind the armor. And there's an interesting motif you may notice with the hands and also with the Ice Warrior ship at the end. The tripod motif, which is a very cool throwback to H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. Overall, I very much like this episode. It is unequivocally my favorite of the series so far. And I'm quite curious to see where the series will go from here. So, sorry that this hasn't been as constructive as my usual feedback, but...
Not good enough.
I'm kind of rushing along. But hope you guys have enjoyed it anyhow. As always, best wishes to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast from Matt Russell.
Thank you, Matthew. Hey, Chris.
I posted a link to the Wikipedia article about Abel Archer 83 on his...
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. On his little comment about feedback on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook page.
Yeah. Ding.
Thank you for that. Lovely. This is excellent stuff. And if you want to send feedback into the show and maintain that rate and standard of feedback, it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. I'll say that again because I didn't quite pronounce it correctly. 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. I didn't mention the feedback address until right at the end last week because I dropped it in and forgot. But we still got loads. So let's have some more. It's great stuff. Very, 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 very pleased. Very, very, very pleased with the amount of feedback.
Very, very pleased.
We got this week. Right. Let's see if we can look up some news. As in news. Doctor Who. Doctor Who news. But as I'm regards to Matthew saying about the Ice Warrior voice, it was really good because it was slightly updated, but at least there was the sort of S at the end of words that ended in S. Yeah. So it was good.
Now, did you mention it the one time I dropped out this episode that the sonic screwdriver changed colour halfway through the episode?
I didn't actually mention that, but I just thought it was down to a different setting that was being used.
Yeah, that's what I
getting
thought.
Getting a bit wet.
Yeah.
And actually, it's quite amazing. I have only seen this once, but I didn't pick up on the whole possible dream sequence that Clara was in. Yeah, sequence, yeah. Yeah, I'm inventing new words here. I didn't pick up on that, but I could see why you could think that. I just thought she got knocked over and nearly drowned and then woke up again.
Mm. Yeah, it was a bit weird that, but doesn't matter. Right, yeah. News. The Rings of Akaten Australian ratings, more than last week, I think. 725,000? Is that more than last week?
Hmm.
What's that?
I can't remember.
No, never mind.
The add to last week.
Yeah, no, never mind. Doesn't matter. the AI score for Rings of Akaten was 84.
Artificial intelligence.
Never mind. I don't know if that's good or not, really, but there you go. All right, what else we got? It's been confirmed that Gemma Redgrave will return to Doctor Who for its 50th anniversary special. Reprising her role in as unit's head of scientific research, Kate Stewart. Now, somebody posted a picture of filming at the Tower of London. Now, I said at the time this picture was posted, oh, maybe unit are in it. And I was poo-pooed. And then just after that came out, this picture...
Who poo-pooed you?
Somebody did, but I can't remember. But I was proven to be on the right lines. That Gemma Redgrave's going to be in it, which is good. It might just be a cameo appearance, because I'm sure there's going to be lots of cameo appearances in the 50th anniversary. So I'm not going to look too much into it. It doesn't really spoil anything. It's just we know she's going to be in the episode. Rather like we know Tennant's going to be in the episode, and Billy Piper's going to be in the episode. We don't know how that's going to work. We don't know if it's going to be the real Doctor or the human Doctor. So we'll find out, won't we?
Metacrisis Doctor.
All that, yeah. Basically the same thing. The final ratings for the Bells of St. John are 8.44 million. Now, that's a big jump up. I think it was like 6 point something million last time. So, still pretty good. It was a next time trailer for Cold War, which we've already seen. I'm not going to bother looking at that. Puffin Books have released a book called Roots of Evil, which is a Fourth Doctor story, by the looks of things. Final Australian ratings for Bells of St. John were 932,000.
Yeah, see, nearly a million there, going up. Adam.
That's pretty good. Might as well say a million.
That's a tenth of the population.
Yeah, that's good though, isn't it, Robert?
Yeah.
Hmm. What we got coming up here? The Ice Warriors DVD details have been announced, and there's a big finish.
Ice Warriors.
Hmm. Special features on disc one. We've got commentary with Fraser Hines, Deborah Watlin, and Sonny Caldinez, designer Jeremy Davis, and Graham's operator Pat Helgum, is that? I can't quite read it. And moderated by a friend of the show, Toby Haydock. Now, I did actually contact Mr. Haydock, or Hadoki, or Haddock, Haddock, or Haddock, or however the...
Something a bit fishy about that.
Although Toby himself, and I think he probably knows best, calls himself
Toby Haydock.
With regards to a very special edition of You Won't Get This One, Toby Haydock Challenge Special, which he said, that sounds like fun, but finding the time to do it might be a bit of a problem. But it's been agreed in principle. So... Commentary Episode 2 made up, this is going back to the Ice Warriors, made up of original archive recordings of readings of text written by Brian Hales, Derek Martinus, Martin Bow, or Boff, whatever you want to call it, Bernard Breslaw, Peter Barkworth, Wendy Gifford, and Sylvia James. And the special features on Disc 1. Why do they both
commentary
say...
Commentary Episode 3 with Michael Troughton.
Cool. Why does it say special features disc 1 on both bits? That's what confuses me.
That's a bit weird, isn't it?
Hmm. There's a VHS links, the introduction of the story, linking material covering the two missing episodes. So I think Deb might be arriving home.
Here's the mail.
It's the mail.
All the female.
Oh. Yeah, that too. Blue Peter Designer Monster Competition from 1967.
I swear.
Photo gallery coming soon. I'm looking forward to that because it'd be interesting.
Coming soon,
no, the animated episodes. What else we got here? Cold War had an overnight audience of 5.7 million. The Voice had 6.7, so but that's going to go up as we keep alluding to.
Yeah. Yep.
And
I downloaded it for my player as well.
Oh, yeah.
So did I, actually. Right, so that's about it for news. Not as funny, isn't it?
No.
The Ice Warriors were in the episode we watched?
No. As part of the Doctor Who 50th anniversary celebrations, the BBC are planning another Doctor Who proms at the Royal Albert Hall in London.
Hooray.
Later this year. David Tennant on Twitter.com has revealed.
Yeah, but it's not the real David Tennant.
Forming part of the BBC Proms 2013, there will be two performances, one on the evening of Saturday, 13 July, and another during the morning on Sunday, 14 July. This is the first time since 2010 there has been a Doctor Who presence at the event.
Good.
More details will be announced officially this Thursday, and tickets will go on sale next month. This is courtesy of Blog Tor Who.
Thank you for that, Kirby.
I tell you what, you know how they're re-releasing that... the music heard in the first episode of Doctor Who under Sounds from the Inferno.
Yes.
John Smith and the Common Men.
Yes.
It's nice that they're including Susan's hand movements on the back of the back cover.
And I don't know whether we've given them authority to use our theme tune.
Yes, yes, precisely.
It should be a plug for us at least anyway.
Yes. So that's basically apart from somebody had a brilliant idea, because we know that the actor that plays William Hartnell in the dramatised... Yeah, actor that...
David Bradley.
Yeah, him. Brilliant idea of bringing him back to actually play the first Doctor in Doctor Who.
Yeah. I mean, they could use that console, too, in the anniversary special. Yeah. Just for the hell of it.
Yeah. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah,
And also notice, obviously, with the next week's trailer... the actress who is going to be playing Verity Lambert in that particular production as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
She's in Call the Midwife.
Hyde.
What?
The next episode's called Hyde.
Oh, right. So the actress is the main character in Call the Midwife. And she's playing Verity Lambert in Adventures in Space and Time. So that's news out of the way. I've got the charts. And
you've got the farts.
No, that's you.
That was you just then. We heard it.
Yes, okay. Adam.
Exactly. Right, the charts are this week, top 20. Number 20, The Hooniverse. Number 19, Doctor Who Podcast. That's a Sound On Sight version. I don't know why they just didn't keep the name Sound On Sight. It would have been less confusing. Number 18, Police Box Paradox. Number 17, The Mondas Podcast.
Police Box Paradox.
Number 16, A Mad Man With a Box. Number 15, Doctor Who Review Today. Number 14, Verity. Number 13, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. Number 12, The Casterbarus Podcast. Number 11, The Minute Doctor Who Podcast. And into the top 10, with number 10, The Omega Podcast. Number 9, The Faros Project. Number 8, The TARDIS Tavern. Number 7, Impossible Podcasts. Number 6, The Memory Cheats. Number 5, The Oodcast. Number 4, The Flashing Blade. Number 3, The DWO Whocast. Number 2, Radio Free Scaro. And at number 1, The Doctor Who Podcast.
Skardak. Skardak. Skardak.
Darn, I pressed the wrong button.
What?
I pressed the wrong button. Hang on. Right. I think it's...
We deleted the episode. We'll have to do it all again.
Yeah, no. It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
I bet I won't.
Right, all the questions.
Said it once.
Thank you. This week we have Kirby Bartlett Sloan, Reese Barton, and Robert Haynes competing against each other. So no Matthew this week, so you've got a bit of a chance.
Yeah, right.
Okay, right. All the questions this week are, of course, relating to the Cold War episode. So if you've been paying attention, you should get the answers. The first question goes
the doctor.
To Kirby. Now, really, I should have a buzzer around, but it's going to be very difficult assessing who pressed the buzzer first. And where Robert's going to lose points anyway for interrupting and jumping in. So I put him down to minus 5 straight away. Okay. This question, Robert, is for Kirby. What does the doctor say as he comes out of the TARDIS?
Viva Las Vegas.
Is the correct answer.
Viva Las Vegas!
Las Vegas!
Number two, this question number two is for Reese. How many meters, get that Robert Reese this is for. How many meters down did the sub rest? How many meters down did the sub rest when it landed on the shelfy cliff thing?
700?
Is the correct answer.
Yes!
There's a nice warrior in the room.
Yes!
And here's Robert's question. Well, first question. What?
Can I interrupt him?
You can if if he doesn't get it right.
You lose a point. You lose a point, though.
You lose a point if you interrupt, yes. Here are, Robert. This is for Robert. Robert, this is Robert. Your question, Robert.
Robert.
What was found on the doctor when the sailors searched him? There's four items to get...
I only know three. There's the sonic screwdriver, of course.
Yes.
There's the Barbie doll and the... ball of string.
Right, you get a point for those, but you get an extra point if you get the other item that they found.
The master's tissue compression and eliminate. What's the name?
Is the wrong answer. Can anybody else jump in with an extra point to get the other item that they found in the doctor's possession?
Oh,
it wasn't a sloppy paper.
Here's a toffee apple. Well done, Reese.
Right, I saw that.
What?
Reese gets that one.
I missed that.
You clearly did.
Yeah.
You're not watching it now, are you, Benny? Do you remember it, dear?
I like taking notes of what they're taking out of his pockets, because I read a book once and it just had all these random things, and ever since then I keep thinking, yes, when they do that, keep bringing out more random things.
So after the first...
You read a book once?
Really? All right, be quiet. Back to the quiz. Back after round one of questions, in last place at the moment, Robert with 1 point, second place, Kirby with 2, but then the lead... Reese with 3. And here we are with the second round of questions. This is for Kirby. Robert, this is for Kirby. What is the ancient Martian code?
Pass it on to whoever's next.
Okay, for 1 point, what is the ancient Martian code?
You attack one of us, you attack us all?
Not quite.
Okay.
We'll have to say nobody on that one. So the answer was harm one of us and you harm us all. Nearly right, Reese, but not quite. Right.
Just can't you get half a point for that?
No. Can't have half points.
I worded it right, just with the wrong word.
my quiz, yeah. my score board doesn't do half points. Right, next question is for Reese.
Oh, darn.
He's right.
What was Skaldak's fleet? What was he a fleet commander of? What does a Skaldak a fleet commander of?
No, looking it up.
I don't know. I'm going to have to pass it on straight away.
Passing on. Sounds like Kirby knows the answer.
No.
Okay. Robert?
What, Debbie? No, I don't got no idea.
It's Nick Stasis.
Nick Briggs.
And Robert, this is your question. What?
Skaldak!
Be quiet. What is Skaldak's response when Stepashin asks him what he wants from him? What do you want from me?
Pass.
Oh.
For 1 point, anybody else?
Could you repeat the question?
Stepashin says, what do you want from me? Or what do you want from us?
Much.
Is the correct answer.
I right. paid attention to that because I found it annoying that
you've only seen it once.
I have. Yes. I found it annoying. I found it annoying that he kept repeating everything he said, like the fact about he kept talking about preempting strike or whatever, and Skaldak would repeat it.
Truly a short instruction.
And that too. But he kept repeating a lot of things, and I just thought that was annoying. So everything they said in that scene, I kind of felt a little annoyed by, but it stood out to me, so I remembered it.
So at the end of round two, in last place, Robert with 1 point. In second place, Kirby with 2 points. We're running away with it at the moment. In the lead, it's Reese with 4 points. Moving on to round three. This is for Kirby. Get this, Robert?
That's Kirby.
For Kirby. What is Sukov's reply when the doctor asks him how many are left?
How many are left? Yeah. Oh, 14.
Is incorrect. Anybody else like to comment?
12.
Is worth a point there, Reese? The actual complete. If you would have got probably another point if you'd said 12 and 11. We can't find Stepashin.
Yeah, but, okay, yeah. I was going to say that there were 12, but they couldn't find him. Yeah.
And this is for Reese.
Oh, it is? Oh, dear.
Get that, Robert. Ben. This is for Reese. How does Clara describe Skaldak's armour?
Oh. Something like a swimsuit, but that's all I can remember.
Incorrect. Anybody else?
Uh-huh.
Nope.
Robert? The answer was shell suit.
Okay. Oh.
Shell suit.
Yes. And this one's for Robert.
I remembered something beginning with S suit, and I just went swimsuit.
Robert.
Well, we would have to begin with S.
Yes.
S.
What does Robert? What does the? I'll start that again. What does the doctor kiss when the professor returns some possessions that were found on the floor?
He kisses the Barbie doll.
Is the correct answer?
Yes.
Yes.
So after another round, the scores are in last place with 2 points, Kirby. In second place with 3 points, Robert. And still in the lead with 5 points, it's Reese.
I'm going to watch an episode once again. This seems to do me good.
Yeah.
Yes.
So out of round four, this is for Kirby. Where has Clara sung Hungry Like a Wolf before?
At what are they called? Hen Nights and Karaoke.
Is the correct answer. And this is for Reese. Who is the second person killed by Skaldak? Not including the bloke at the beginning with the when the hand comes out of the ice block. Forget about that. But who is the second person killed by Skaldak? You'll never get this one.
No, I won't. I can't remember.
Anybody else?
That's because one of the bloody guys,
but I don't remember their names.
Didn't think you would. This is definitely you won't get this. Blimey, Robert gets the point.
What was it?
You didn't look that up, did you?
No. How can I know?
I don't know. But
which one was it?
Wannigan.
Oh. Did one of the people shout it out?
Yeah, he said, he turns around and goes, Wannigan!
With the red light. That's right. I remember the scene, I just couldn't remember the name. Well done.
I am impressed. This is for Robert, anyway. Robert, get this? This is for Robert. What colour... Be quiet. What?
Jump in early.
Be quiet. What colour is the professor's Sony Walkman?
I remember looking at it. Isn't it like beige or creamy kind of colour?
Can't really give you that one. Anybody else like to come in?
No.
No.
And the answer was yellow. So yellow. After
that's
four rounds... It's a tie for last place between Kirby and Robert with 4 points, and still in the lead with 5 points, it's Reese.
Wow.
So this
I'm
is
surprised.
The last round.
Ooh.
Kirby. Get this, Robert, it's for Kirby.
Kirby.
What is Clara's response when the professor asks her what she likes doing?
Stuff.
Correct answer.
Ah.
This is for Reese. Get that, Robert. This is for Reese. When Clara's head is grabbed by Skaldak, how does the professor stop the attack?
Shoots it.
Correct.
I knew that.
This is for Robert. Get it? This is for Robert. What does the doctor say is left for Skaldak when the Ice Warrior says that all is left is revenge? All he has left is revenge. What's he say? What does the doctor say he has left for Skaldak when the Ice Warrior says all that he has left is revenge?
I don't know.
I know it, but I can't. No, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, it's on the tip of your tongue, but it's on the tip of my head.
That's what she said.
Yes.
Just pass.
Pass. So who wants to come in for a point? It's all gone quiet over there. Nobody?
Kirby's looking it up.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you
the
are.
Answer is... be quiet, I'm giving you the answer. It's Mercy. I've got to answer the phone now. Didn't quite get to it in time. Okay. Right. Okay, right. So...
Skaldak.
Be quiet. Skaldak. So, be quiet! So the results for this week's... You won't get this one in last place with 4 points.
Me.
Robert.
Yay!
And if I say in second place with 6 points, Kirby, we know then that the winner of this week's You Won't Get This One, unbelievably, is Reese Parton.
Yay!
Woo-hoo!
So with 7 points. So, before we go, let's have a quick look at Facebook. This is our 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Facebook group, where there's generally all sorts of interesting things posted on various different Doctor Who-related subjects. Jeff Waddell said about the episode on Saturday, which was the Cold War, that it's another Marmite one.
He also said something else afterwards.
I beg your pardon?
No, I think he's the only one who doesn't like
as well.
Well, Alan T. Butcher said, yep. Either you like it or you're Jeff.
Yeah.
Ian Kirk said, you don't want to see Marmite on your TV screen. Jeff Waddell said, I'd rather watch a jar of Marmite than that again. Oh dear, Jeff. Does Jeff like Doctor Who?
He sounds like Ben last week.
I said it must be a good episode because Ben said it was all right.
Yeah.
It's funny, Ben says that, no, I if it's a good episode, I'd say that was good. I don't ever remember him actually saying that.
No, me either.
Christopher Lee Gallagher said, I used to spend this time on Saturday night, bottle in hand, listening to the tunes and getting ready for a night out. Nowadays, I spend it having heated debates with RTD and DT fans. Somebody called Kirby Bart, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, Bart Lel. Sloan.
And this was before I saw it, so.
Oh, right. Oh, it's you. Oh, sorry. interesting. Can't wait to see it. I'm expecting to like it. Well, there you go. You predicted correct, Kirby. Although it says,
hang
now
on,
that.
Ice War is.
Magic agrees with me. Hang on. I think the wife's at the door. Yeah, where did I get up to?
You were in the middle of my.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It said,
interesting, can't wait to see it.
Now that it has been shown in the UK, can we tell Reese that it has an Ice Warrior in it yet?
Did it?
He doesn't get to watch it for a little while longer. Hang on. Can you stop knocking me cables? Not you, the dogs.
Sorry.
That's what she said.
Adam Saunders said, I enjoyed it, but not as much as the previous two. Oh, that's surprising. The Sonic changing colour must mean something again. Maybe it's because it's been underwater, but I take it that it's a different setting.
No, it was the setting to disarm the thing.
Yeah.
To blow up.
It was still the regular colour after it had been submerged.
Yeah, but
change colour.
I've noticed it's got a red and a green setting. It's a shame it hasn't got an old classic blue setting like the previous one.
Did in closing time.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Reese Partone.
Is he related to Dolph?
Kirby Shut Up, it says. Oh, that's a bit disrespectful. Kirby, how do you think? What do you think of that?
Who's Kirby Shut Up?
And then he says, Adam, I haven't seen it, but the Sonic Screwdriver's done that before in closing time. That's funny. I'm getting a deja vu moment.
Yeah. I said it to the other Adam, thank you very much.
Oh, I say sorry. Kirby, it's difficult to pronounce. Icy Warrior. Reese Parton says, I know.
Sounds kind of noble-like. I know.
Adam Saunders says, it probably is nothing, but it stuck out for me. That's what she said.
Excuse me.
Christopher Lee Gallagher III. I don't know if that's the same one. That's, oh, never mind. I sort of enjoyed it. Didn't like the CGI. After last week's practical effects, was a step backwards. I think it's supposed to say it was a step backwards. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this series
was all practical effects.
Indeed. This series, in my opinion, has so far been better after a second viewing. But I thought this Cold War personally, this is me talking, not Christopher, that it was just as good on the first viewing as it was on the second and third one. By the way, I'm having my pick took with Jenna next month. You lucky.
Who's this?
Christopher Lee Gallagher. Show off. Anyway, yes. Kirby Bartlett, through a convenient rift in the space-time continuum, I have managed to watch it. It was good. There you are. So that basically, that's all you needed to say on the show, Kirby. It was good. You didn't have to go all elaborate on me. Adam Saunders said, agreed with the second viewing. I've liked each episode more on second or third watch. Pardon, Robert?
Nothing.
Oh, you're just reading them at the same time as me. Jeff Waddell, yes. good old Jeff, that great Doctor Who fan.
Yes.
Deb's just walking in the room with a gas bill and her underwear.
What?
Oh. Don't worry, nobody can see.
You should turn it off video Skype
now. Oh, no, I've just got a bill from British Gas. I owe them £2.66.
Oh, no. How you got to cope?
Agreed. What? Why does that say that? The radio, Dev, it evokes imaginations in people. Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Oh, God, yeah. I agree with the second. I've done that one. That great Doctor Who fan, Jeff Waddell. I've been using it. I'm not that keen on JLC. Obviously gorgeous, but her acting doesn't strike me as very good. Is it actually Jeff Waddell? Is he Ben Shoveler, but under a different name?
Yeah, he must be.
Christopher Lee Gallagher. I'm starting to miss Karen.
That's M. M starting to miss.
You know what, M? Don't be awkward.
He's got the apostrophe.
Oh, don't be an English teacher. Reese, somebody or other. Likewise, I didn't think much of the Bells of St. John apart from Matt Jenner. Who's Matt Jenner? Is that a different...
Yes.
I don't remember them being.
Oops.
Matt Jenner, Celia.
Who's the English teacher here?
And the music. As always, me. Oh, sorry, as always for me, in brackets. But having watched about five times now, I love it. Same with the second one. And I found a convenient rift in time and space too. So I'm about to having my first viewing of... What? Reese, are you right there? I'm completely lost it on that one.
First viewing and only viewing.
Reese?
It was at 8:30 in the morning.
Oh, I was waiting for the excuse. Then he says,
"It was at 5:34 in the evening."
Says 11:32. 11:34. It says on my one. The Ice Warriors re-entered the room there. Reese Barton then says, "Starting, Christopher." Kirby then says, "Ice Warrior Reese." Reese then says, "Indeed, Kirby." And Jeff Ben Shoveler Waddell says, "Not Ice Warrior at all. It looks yes, but that's all." Kirby Bartlett Sloan, "Reese isn't an Ice Warrior. I agree."
Say, Kirby,
this is getting very, very silly. Reese then said, "We've known this months before the episode, something which disappointed me, but if the episode is good enough, I might be able to forgive it." Adam Saunders, they said. Pardon?
Does he forgive it?
Do you forgive it, Reese?
It was a very good episode. I do forgive it.
Good, right. Adam Saunders then said, "I never took to Amy. Sure, she was hot, but I wasn't sad to see her go. Rory, on the other hand..." So you're going to say he's a bit like me then. It must be an Adam thing that people like Rory's. And I don't mean that in the biblical sense.
So both Adams have a crush. Both Adams have a crush.
What a surprise.
And notice it said you've got your wrong, Adam, Reese.
So I'm not... yeah, thank you.
Attraction of you saying, are...
No. His saying is that both Adams, he owns that saying.
So there's no point.
You're supposed to write, "So you are saying."
Yeah, all right. Well, there's no point in me reading. Stop arguing about English and grammar, please. There's no point.
Correct.
I'm not reading out the next one because Reese actually read it out word for word anyway. Right. Kirby Bart something or other. The ending of Cold War was a bit too. Oh, for God's sake. What's that?
Deus Ex Ice Warrior, or actually, it should be Ice Warrior Ex Machina.
Yeah, all right, thank you. Though, that's my biggest issue with it, and I will probably feel better about it after a second watch, as it actually does follow from the story. Adam Saunders then says, "I have to add that I was worried because this is a Mark Gatiss episode, and apart from Victory of the Daleks, I generally found his episodes a bit lacking." Me too, Adam!
What?
"I was pleasantly surprised. I've not seen the Ice Warriors before, as I've only watched a limited amount of classic so I'm unable to comment as to how accurate they are." Well, they're pretty accurate for me. For me, it doesn't matter. The Daleks are nothing like they were in the Daleks. I'm not saying they're nothing like them, but they've certainly been... They've evolved. Similar. They've evolved, haven't they? Ian Burge, he says, "This season..." He got the words wrong again.
Completely spot on there, unlike me with saying
"you." He got one word right, though.
Go on then, say that word.
Yeah.
Not that word, season, the smorgasbord. That one. I've spelt that word correctly this week, hee hee. Bells was a familiar carbohydrate portion that everyone is used to. Rings was a different, unusual dish that we all gingerly licked. That's what she said. Oh, liked. And some didn't. No, that's what it says here. This week was supposed to be the yummy dish or cold cut. That's the clock, by the way, that we've all been waiting for. It wasn't awful, just lacked something. I'm thinking a better ending. Is it me, or would it have been better if it had been written as a two-parter? No.
It's him.
Well, a lot of people seem to think that it looks like it could have been two-parters.
No,
the only thing is, people say that about every episode. They wanted a little bit more from this character, that character, and as soon as there's a two-parter, they say, "Oh, that was too..."
Yeah, and if it's a two-parter, they generally say it should have been a one-parter. So no, I'd say no.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can't win.
Imagine if we'd gone inside the Martian ship. Gatiss talks about expanding on the Ice Warrior story. Possibly in a few years, we might all revisit this story as a beloved starting point of a much-loved story arc. Well, possibly.
No, not story arc. No.
Adam Saunders said, "After watching again, I was put in mind of the episode Dalek." As was I, Adam. And Adam Saunders, it isn't me. No.
Yes, yes.
From series one. Yeah, I thought that.
Said as well.
Yes. So I wonder if the Icy Warriors will be back for the series finale. They could well be. And finally,
that's
Jeff Waddell, I have deleted them from my mind with mind bleach.
Mind bleach.
He's Ben, isn't he?
Now, talking about deleting from the mind, I was thinking about this obvious, well-known fact that Tennant and Piper are coming back to Doctor Who. Now, thing about that, I thought, well, how are they going to do this, right?
What?
The Doctor and Rose have met the future Doctor. Now, surely that would have had some sort of impact, especially when we get to the story end of time, the Doctor's sort of wondering what his future self is going to be like. When, if he's already met his future self, he would know. Now, I've got a way around this. When they've had their adventure, when they've had their
way around it is that it's got to be the Metacrisis Doctor
or retcon.
Where?
All they have to do whilst when they've had their adventure, they go into the TARDIS, take some retcon, and they completely forget about it, but we remember it.
Or another giant jack-o'-lantern.
Are you pathetic?
Pardon? Didn't quite get that.
Another
what?
Another giant jack-o'-lantern.
Oh.
The Rings of Akatin.
Okay, right, yes. There's loads of good stuff on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group. I'm not going to read every single one. Join the group. Read the posts. Comment on them. Because Rhys Barton said, well, because I haven't seen any other Ice Warrior episodes and I don't have any hang-ups on they might have changed a few things, I can say that I loved that. Mark Gatiss. Yeah, and I said on Twitter, well done, Mark Gatiss. Actually, I did actually post that. He didn't reply to
you
it.
Write multiple S's?
No. No.
Mark Gatiss.
No, I put too many T's in his name, funny enough.
Mark Gatiss.
Anyway, yes, like all I say. Right. So, next week, we've got a spooky one.
Yes.
Actually, Deb.
I want to hide.
Deb, what do you think of this week's Doctor Who?
Oh, don't ask me again. I don't like it.
What did you think?
We haven't heard.
Pardon? Doctor Who, what we're talking about?
I wasn't impressed again.
What do you mean you weren't impressed again? She's Ben Shoveler.
I am Ben Shoveler, that's right. I'm not impressed. I just find he's just doing it for you lot, but not for the general people that watch, want to watch. There's no story. It's complicated.
Nonsense.
You just asked for my opinion.
Yeah, but it's nonsense.
Yeah, because you know it's true.
No, that one I'd say there was definitely a story with, involved in
Adam,
that.
Adam, you did just ask her opinion.
I did.
Fair enough.
Yes. Doesn't make sense. Right.
did she know that you were a Doctor Who fan when you got married?
Thank you.
Kirby just asked, hang on. Ask her that question yourself. Oh, I just knocked the thing off. Ask her that question yourself, Kirby.
Did you know that he was a Doctor Who fan when you got married?
Yes. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Ooh.
How many years is it now, dear?
19 years, 11 months, and it's quite a long time. Anyway, right, Beth.
Get yours in prison.
Pardon?
I can't hear now.
Oh, for God's sake, right.
They're still talking to me now.
This microphone makes a dinging noise when I hold it up in the air.
Well, don't hold it up in the air then.
Well, it won't pick up. No, you just knocked it then.
Put it down.
I have to hold it up.
Put it down.
She's talking about the microphone, by the way.
Yes, Adam.
Put it down.
Right.
Yes, Anna, put it down.
I tend to disagree with you. There was a very good story involved in this.
It wasn't easy to understand.
It wasn't rubbish. It was easy to understand. Siege, sort of. What was it? What would you call it?
Base under siege episode.
Yeah. So basically.
Don't like the new girl.
She doesn't like Jenna. She's too good looking.
Nothing to do with that. She's too. Doctor.
I disagree again. Hang on.
Oh, come on.
No, I disagree.
Right, what did your fellow people hear?
They loved it, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, but they're men.
Well, Mary loved it as well, didn't she?
Let's have a woman's point of view here.
We did have a woman's point of view. Mary loved it, although she did leave the episode very abruptly. Because she decided to put work first.
Yeah, but now you're all men, see?
She's not a man.
You're all going to say, oh, yeah, we loved it, because she's really nice.
Mary's not a man, though.
Who's not a man? Mary?
No, see, I can't hear Mary's. I haven't heard Mary's opinion, have I?
Well, you don't listen to the podcast, obviously. If you listen to the podcast like our listeners do, then, of course, you'd hear the opinions of Mary Lang.
I haven't got time.
Yeah, anyway, right.
Jeff on the Facebook group doesn't like it.
That's because Jeff is, in fact, his pseudonym of Ben Shoveler. Who actually Ben did like it.
Is that all our names then, whoever doesn't like it?
No, it's just, well, Ben said it was all right, which means he did like it. And, but Jeff Waddell. It's only Jeff, I haven't seen anything negative from anybody else.
Yeah.
Ow, me!
Sorry, the dog's still scratching.
What was he owl for?
The dog scratched her leg. That's star.
They've not got very good minds here, have they? They're sort of thinking about things.
No, that's Robert. Robert.
Okay.
That is Reese, actually. No, sorry, Reese.
Okay. I'm going. I'm bye, because this could get very bad. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Right, anyway, talking of bye, I think it's about time we ended the show. Next week we've got Hyde, I think you said it was called.
Yes.
I won't be able to watch it when it goes out.
The person who wrote The Rings of Ekaterin, Neil Cross.
Oh, so, you know what next week's episode reminded me of? You know that Sarah Jane episode?
You seen it?
Yeah.
That's what I got the vibe of from watching when they all go to that house.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. But that's what it reminded me of when I saw the trailer. Yeah,
go on.
You guys have been great company for my final evening of being a 17-year-old.
Oh,
happy birthday.
Happy birthday, you. Young man.
Oh, thank you.
So you're 17 tomorrow, is it, Reese?
No. 18 tomorrow.
18? 18?
It did say,
18? Yes. That means you can go out to the pub and drink.
Yeah.
He did say final evening of being a 17-year-old, and he said, where's your 17th birthday?
Sorry.
It's like the clocks are winding backwards on my age. A year's gone backwards.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
so,
it's happening to the doctor, isn't it?
So that means that, when is your birthday, Reese? Tomorrow.
16th of April.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that means that, because obviously we're the 50, I don't know where we are in between time zones, so that's still tomorrow for us as well. So
yeah.
It's still going to be the 16th tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, but it might have been the 14th where we are. I don't know where we are.
Could have been, yeah.
So obviously, that means obviously tomorrow Reese will grow up and realise it was series, not season, all along.
I'll realise how enlightened I am, and you guys need to catch up.
Yeah, well, don't forget to send Reese happy birthday messages. Just for the sake of it. Probably won't, because of course his show will go out, if I can get it out, on his birthday.
That's what she said. That's what she said.
But anyway, like I said, Hyde next week, and more exciting new Doctor Who.
Hyde next week?
Yeah, on Saturday. Like I say, I won't be able to get to see it when it goes out, because I'll be filming a wedding, so I'll have to wait till I get home later in the evening.
And if we're recording on Sunday, are you going to have enough time?
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it?
Okay.
I just have to watch it once, and might have to do the old-fashioned watching it whilst we're talking about it scenario.
Okay.
But I won't be writing any questions on it. That's the only thing I'll have to. We'll have to go back to questions about the history of Doctor Who rather than that particular episode.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be better. Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll go for Sunday next week. Anyway, thanks everybody for being on the show this week. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Goodbye.
Hi. Oh, Vienna!
Skardak.
Skardak.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Reese. Happy birthday to you. Cold air, freezing breath on a window pane, lying and waiting. A man in the dark in a picture frame, so mystic and soulful. Reaching out in a piercing cry, it stays with you until we'll be right back.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. Skullduck.